Coming up on today's edition of Women and Money, the shit we don't talk about, our guest is a journalist, personal finance columnist, personal finance ambassador, and founder and CEO of the multimedia company Her Money. We have Jean Chatsky with us today.
We're honored to have Jean with us today on our podcast. Of course, she's been on Oprah and she's been on The View and she's written all kinds of, for all kinds of magazines like Parents and of course Cosmo, and also the financial editor of NBC's Today Show.
She's also written many best-selling books, two of them being Age Proof, Living Longer Without Running Out of Money or Breaking a Hip, and Women and Money, The Judgment-Free Guide to Creating Joyful, Less Stress, Purposeful, and Rich Life You Deserve.
We love those titles. We know there are many, many more books. As you can see, though, Jean has really been a pioneer on this mission to help women be what we say at Purse Strings is be financially fearless.
So let's dive in and get started today.
Gloria Steinem once said, "We will never solve the feminization of power until we solve the masculinity of wealth." Barbara Provost and Maggie Nielsen are the team at Purse Strings that will help you navigate the ins and outs of financial independence so that you can be financially fearless. This is Women and Money, the shit we don't talk about.
Hello, Jean. Welcome to the podcast. We are honored to have you on today. Before we get started, could you give a little intro of who you are and what you do to our listeners?
I'm happy to. Thank you guys for having me today to celebrate International Women's Day. Very excited about that. So, as you said, I'm a longtime personal finance journalist. I have been in this field for well over three decades and grew up in personal finance magazines doing the sort of reporting that I needed in order to improve my own financial life, and then was able to turn around and use that information to help a lot of people and of late a lot of women improve their financial lives through HerMoney.com and our podcasts, Her Money and How She Does It, and our newsletters and our coaching courses and our investing club for women. We are bringing a lot of women along the learning curve.
I love that. There's so many different aspects that you have. So that's awesome. We're excited to dive in today. So just kind of, you know, to get started, you know, for the listeners who aren't as familiar with Her Money, you know, what led you to start Her Money? What is kind of the story behind this?
Her Money started as a podcast. I've been doing the Her Money podcast now for 7 years. If your listeners like to take in information about women and money, I think they'd probably really like our show. We touch all aspects of a woman's money, whether we're talking about careers or relationships or investing or kids or pets, we sort of cover it all. And what happened was that we very quickly grew an audience, and it became apparent to me and Kelly Hultgren, my producer at the time and one of the co-founders of Her Money, that we were building community, that we launched a Facebook group seemingly overnight. We had thousands and thousands of women talking to each other, helping each other where it came to their money. And so we decided we would launch a company. Fast forward, and we do a number of things at Her Money. We produce a lot of content, podcasts, videos, and newsletters. We publish two free newsletters every week. Again, if people go to HerMoney.com, they can sign up. We have an expertise in something called money type, helping women figure out why we're wired the way we are when it comes to our money and why we behave the way that we do. So you can learn about your money type at HerMoney.com. And of late, we're coaching as well. We've got a program called Finance Fix that is a program that's really focused on helping people save more, spend less, pay down debt if they have it, get their money working in the right direction. And then Investing Fix is my investing club for women. I run it with a woman named Karen Feinerman, who you may have seen on CNBC. She's a professional investor. And we meet every other Monday night on Zoom with hundreds of women. We're picking stocks, making money, and learning about investing along the way.
That's fantastic. I love everything you're doing. It's so important to get this word out to women. What we find is so often women are afraid to talk about money. They walk away from the conversation, or they're embarrassed if they hadn't known. Their comment is, I should have known this. And far too often, we created purse strings because we just saw too many women who were not taking action. And we say, if we're not talking about money, we're not learning about money. And as an adult educator, I'm all about helping women learn what they need to know wherever they are in their financial journey. But I'm curious, you've started this a while back. And Jean, what kind of changes have you seen for women from when you started Her Money to where they are today around financial empowerment?
I mean, fortunately, and I agree with everything that you just said. Fortunately, I think we are talking about it more. Younger women are talking about it more than women my age talked about it when we were in our 20s and 30s. And not just about salaries, but about investing and about what we need to know to become homeowners or get smart about paying down our debts. I feel a lot more able to have these open, honest conversations than we used to be. And in part, I think that's just because the younger generation of women talks about everything with more candor than we talked about it with. Maggie, you're nodding, which makes me think I'm right about this. They seem to, they talk about their relationships. They talk about sex. They also talk about what they're spending for dinner and how ridiculous it is sometimes. And so all of that seems to be helping, which is not to say that we don't need more information. We do. The financial industry is really frustrating in the way that it often shields important information by wrapping it in lingo and jargon unnecessarily. I grew up, as I said, as a personal finance reporter, and my job as a personal finance reporter was to ask questions to which I didn't know the answer. I mean, what a luxury, right? Somebody is paying me to ask these questions that are going to improve my own financial life. And I needed answers. I was an English major in college. I didn't know anything about this. And just being able to talk to these really smart people and having the confidence to say, I don't get it. Can you please explain it again? Is what we all really need to be able to do. There is nothing embarrassing about saying, I don't get it. Can you explain it again? Often it's an indication that there is something wrong with the person who's trying to do the explaining, not something wrong with you.
Yeah, I think you made so many great points there. As I first agree that the younger generation, we're definitely talking about money more. And some of that I think is through social media. If your immediate group isn't talking about money, you could go see what other people are spending or start getting an idea. Because sometimes it's like, not to compare yourself as a comparison, but like, how much do you spend going out to eat? Like, how much should I be spending? Is $500 too much? Is $500 too little? Like, just to kind of get those range comparisons. But we do talk about a lot of those things. And yeah, we need to be, I love that you were able to go ask these questions, because if you had these questions, I'm sure other women did as well, just people in general, not even women. Because even as an MBA graduate, a lot of the personal finance we didn't touch on, we touched on, business finance and different things like that. And so, as an English major or whatever else you studied, these topics are not covered. So I know when you were asking these questions and getting more explanation, everybody else was asking these questions too, and are so glad you asked them and got some more of that description, whether it's what that word means or why should I care what that number means or those different things, because we've got to know about it. We've got to talk about it.
Exactly. Nobody is going to care about our money as much as we do. right? So we've got to ask the questions that pertain to our own financial lives.
And I love that you touched on the financial industry, because being in the financial industry myself, not as a producer, but as an educator, I consistently told leadership whenever I was consulting within the industry, you're really missing a female market. I mean, women don't buy in a linear fashion. You're using a lot of vernacular. Women don't understand. Nobody understands. You're not making it easy for people to do business with you. And I always say, you know, it's a model built by men for men to sell to men, and it has not really adjusted. So have you seen any changes in the financial industry and how they're helping women feel empowered outside of the, well, we have these wine and cheese nights for women and they think that's solving the issue? What changes, Jean, have you seen over the years? Anything?
I've seen more firms leaning into an understanding that that it's important to talk to women, to bring women along, to, if you're dealing with a couple, make sure that you're talking to both people in that relationship. There's a statistic that scares financial advisors to death, and it's that when the husband dies, 70 to 75% of these women are going to leave their financial advisors, and they're going to leave their financial advisors because they haven't felt taken care of. They haven't felt a part of this relationship all along the way. They're taking steps to deal with that, the financial industry, because they don't want it to happen. And they also see that when you look at the $15 trillion in wealth that is supposed to transfer hands over the next couple of decades, most of it's going to land in the hands of women, because women will inherit twice. We'll inherit from our parents, but we'll also inherit from the spouses that we'll outlive. And that means we're very quickly going to get to a point where most of the wealth in the United States is in the hands of women. Financial services companies get this. They know it's coming, and they are really trying to gear up so that a lot of money doesn't walk out their doors.
Purse Strings offers an available-for-hire network of vetted professionals who specialize in serving women. When you have a life event that has suddenly made money a priority, you can now move forward with a whole new confidence that you're getting advice and services from savvy professionals who are uniquely equipped to serve your needs. Go to pursestrings.co and use our directory of hand-picked financial professionals when you're ready to plan for retirement, navigate divorce, buy your next home, fire up your new business, and more. Go to pursestrings.co or check the link in the show notes. Now you can be financially fearless.
Yeah, well, we're right there with you. We know that a large percentage of widows who've been overlooked will leave their financial professional. I think that number's even gone up. I mean, I've been heeding this message because I teach financial professionals how to reach and engage and earn the female dollar. And it's still hard to get listening from them, even though they know this stat. And still today, women are really looking for something different from their financial professionals, not what they typically have seen or have experienced. So I think there's still a lot of work to do there. But I'm so glad that you brought up the wealth transfer. It's starting already. And with the aging of America, with, you know, 10,000 people turning 65 every day for the next 7 years, we're going to see a lot more widows. We're going to see a lot more of the gray divorce, women over 50 who are divorcing. So there's going to be a lot more single women looking for good financial professionals.
Yeah, we're already seeing it. Absolutely.
And I love how you shared that explanation of, because we always say, you know, it is going to, the money is going to fall into the hands of women. But a lot of people ask, you know, how is that going to happen? And it is that double wealth transfer. And I'm glad you brought that up. Because, you know, before, you know, I don't have the dates with me, but like women weren't even really able to have money and their own assets and things like that. So this is really a marker in history of, we'll get this wealth, but it's also one of the times that we can really hold on to it or do what we want and don't have to give it over to somebody else because of our rights and our, you know, whatever it may be. So it's a really exciting time for women, and we want to make sure that they know how to handle the money that's coming their way. But we also see a lot of women give a little too much away just because we love to give and we love to help. And so we just want to make sure that we use this opportunity to really fill our own cups and give, but, you know, have that balance.
You know, you're so right about that, Maggie. Our money type diagnostic, which was developed by a PhD named Jennifer Lee Seelig. She's out in California. She specializes in archetypes and worked with us to sort of develop what is essentially the five love languages for money. And when you take the money type quiz, the money type diagnostic, you see that you are one of these five money types, and most people have a primary money type and a secondary money type. A very, very common money type for women, either as primary or secondary, is what we call the nurturer. And nurturers often do exactly what we're saying. We spend too much money taking care of others, whether it's causes that we believe in or our kids or our older parents. Sometimes that can't be helped, but sometimes it can, to our own detriment. And knowing that this is the way that you're wired to be an overgiver is really important, because only when you understand yourself can you start making changes in how you're behaving to compensate for those natural tendencies. So I agree with you. I think there are a lot of us who overgive and should be a little bit more careful.
Yeah, it's just something, you know, it's not good or bad. You know, we just like to highlight, and sometimes just being aware of these things really helps. When you do get that money come your way, just being aware of like, ooh, I shouldn't overgive, or, you know, I shouldn't, you know, give it all away, because people might start asking for it once they know you have money. So it's just great to, you know your type and almost be aware about that. It's not something you always have to change, but just that awareness is key.
And one thing you mentioned also, you mentioned the word care, and I think caregiving and how caregiving is really falls into the laps of women. Stats will tell you it's typically the oldest daughter or the daughter in the household.
Yep.
It lands on them. And not only is it a woman's issue, but it's a financial issue as well. And like I said, with the aging population growing, this is a big impact to women financially, even though they may not be aware of it. But we also speak to financial professionals on really looking at your client and being an advocate for your caregiving client. So can you speak a little bit to that and what you might be seeing?
Sure. So you're absolutely right. We saw this really clearly during the pandemic, when kids were home from school, when we were pulling people out of nursing homes and other care facilities because the rates of COVID were just so high. The people that stepped out of the workforce to fill in were women, right? And they were women for a number of reasons, because of traditional gender lines, because also of the salary gap, which has just been pervasive. And never ending. But when you're a family looking to take care of people who need care at the same time you're looking to continue to earn as much money as possible, you're going to let the person with the higher income stay in the workforce and the other person's going to stay home. And more often than not, that is the woman. And so, it's a perpetuating cycle. One thing that I encourage people to do is to look at the additional costs of stepping out or stepping back from the workforce, and think about if there are ways to maintain some sort of a foothold. When you step out of the workforce completely, it's not just your salary that you're giving up. I've often had the conversation with people who say, well, why should I work? You know, when I look at how much I'm paying for daycare or for childcare, it's pretty much a wash with my salary. And it might be a wash with your salary, but you're forgetting about the contributions to the retirement plan, the social security credits, the seniority that you're building, all of those other factors, and the fact that it's hard to get back in. And maybe there are ways to step out part-time or to think about it differently. But I do think that we need to look at childcare differently, which is not to say that this is an easy thing to look at. It's impossible, and it's harder than it used to be. But these are hard decisions that we need to make with all of the evidence of what we're giving up and what we're able to maintain.
Yeah, this childcare thing is so expensive, and I do talk to a lot of my friends who are like, "Is it worth it for me to work?" You know, and it is. You know, you got to think past right. the paycheck and these other things. And again, neither of them are right or wrong. You have to figure out your situation, kind of have your plan in place, and again, bring that awareness to what's going to happen if you do one thing or the other. And so it's just conversations we need to have and be thinking about, as we don't always think about, you know, the Social Security credits. I know that's one that's most doesn't cross people's mind a lot, but it is something that you have to build, you know, and it's a big thing for stay-at-home parents. And so what are some, you know, pieces of advice you'd have for women who are listening today on any of these topics that we've touched on?
Look, I think if they're listening today, then they're on the right track, right? They're already leaning into learning about their finances. This is not something that you flip a switch and you know everything that you need to know overnight. It's an ongoing conversation because the tax laws, the retirement laws, everything keeps changing around us. So you just want to be in it for the long haul. So the fact that people are listening is great. I would say, you know, look for a few sources of information that you trust and you can keep up with. The most important thing that you can do is make sure that you are saving enough and that money is being invested so that it's working as hard for you as you're working for yourself. And that means being in whether you have a retirement plan at work or whether you've got an IRA or a SEP outside of work, you know, just get in, stay in, don't let the markets derail you. And if you need help, when you need help, get that help.
Definitely. Exactly. Yeah. You got to keep investing. It's got to make your money work for me, you. And I know at Her Money, you guys have a newer investment group, Investment Fix. Is that correct?
It's called Investing Fix. It's an investing club. So it's actually really fun. We meet every other Monday night on Zoom. Karen Feinerman, as I said, is a professional investor. She and I are teaching, personal finance and investing, you know, live to hundreds of women. And, we tee up a couple of investing picks each class. The group votes on what gets added to our group portfolio. I know that a lot of the participants are buying these investments for their own accounts as I am. And I just want to say we've been in NVIDIA for quite a while. So
we're doing,
you know what? Karen picked it. But we're making money. We're having fun and we're learning. And I think what could be better than all three of those things?
That's fabulous. How powerful, right? To be there with all those women and investing. Yeah. So I appreciate you coming on today and sharing, Jean, all that you're doing for women. We look up to you at Purse Strings as somebody who's been really a leader in the industry. And we are so honored to have you on our podcast today and are really, you know, right there heeding the same call for women to come forward, learn what you need to know wherever you are. There's no, you know, dumb question. It's a no judgment zone. Drink the latte, you know, enjoy yourself. And, you know, be financially fearless is our call at Purse Strings. So whether it's Purse Strings, Her Money, come forward, ladies, and learn what you need to know to make great financial decisions for yourself, for your family, for your business, so that you can live a financially financially sound future full of choices. So you have choices to make. So thank you, Jean.
Yeah. Thank you for everyone for tuning in today. We really appreciate it. All the links that Jean mentioned about Her Money and the newsletter and the Investing Fix will all be in the show notes. So you should definitely check it out. And you know, as we always say, just make sure to take one small action after listening to this podcast, as we just want to move a little bit forward every day. It doesn't have to be anything huge. Maybe it's just signing up for the newsletter or getting that investing fix Monday calendar block on your calendar. Just these small actions really do add up. So share this with a friend, leave us a review. That always helps. And let's keep talking about this shit. We'll talk to everyone soon. Bye.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.